if you would please. Go to 1 Corinthians chapter number 16. And you find your place in 1 Corinthians 16. I want you to hold your place in 2 Corinthians chapter number 9. So if you'll find your spots, your places there. Amen. All right, let's see here. Dylan, I need you and David up here just for a second. Yeah, 1 Corinthians 16, and then find a spot in 2 Corinthians 9. Okay. Just here. All righty. Make sure everybody gets one. Everybody gets one. And we're going to talk about this here this morning. And everybody to have one. I mean, even the little ones. And, of course, mom and dad are going to watch the little ones. And we're going to talk about this here this morning. We've had our missions conference. And we're going to talk a little bit about what our, you know, responsibility is now in missions. And we're going to wait until everybody gets hold of this. Now, these are the same cards, the photocopies of which we've taken from Brother Ballou, who has been in heaven almost a year now. And we're, you know, looking, actually longer than that. But anyway, yeah, I'd stop and think. I'm losing my mind because I'm not thinking. Amen. Amen. Thank you, brother. Everybody to have one of these. And here's what we're going to do. Brother Blue would always come in and we would have a missions conference. Brother Blue had a famous outline that he would preach. And let me just go and give it to you real quick. He would talk about the need for the power of God. And he would say this. He would say, we need mighty power. And then he would say, somebody has got to get a hold of God. We've got to pray. We don't just need to give so the missionaries can live. We need to pray so that they will stay. So missionaries who come in, we need to pray for them as a church, as individuals, families, however, so that they will stay on the field, that the Lord would bless their labors and help them. Well, we also need manpower. Somebody's got to go. That's what this last week was about. We need manpower. Somebody's got to go. Somebody has got to be willing to leave home, family, friends, familiarity, the comfort zone, and go to a place where those things may not be readily experienced. But when missionaries move to new places, you find out that they say, that's our home, those are our people, I want to go back home. Not to the States, but wherever it is, the Lord has them across the seas. Brother Chris Hewitt preached here the other night that you have a here somewhere. There is a little lad here. And if that little boy hadn't been there, or to use the biblical phrase here, he would have missed a blessing. Amen. So we need mighty power. Somebody's got to get a hold of God. We need manpower. Somebody's got to go. But we need money power. Somebody's got to give. And you're looking at a fellow here who believes wholeheartedly that if you say the Lord has not called me to be a missionary, I want you to listen to me. The Lord's not called me to be a missionary. Let me ask you this question. Are you certain that God has called you to stay here? Has God called you to stay? You see, the Great Commission is the spreading of the gospel all over the world, but it starts in Jerusalem, then Judea, then Samaria, then the uttermost part of the earth. So we start, you know, here. Well, let me ask you this question. Has God called you to stay here? That's a question every one of us needs to deal with, needs to address. God calls missionaries to go overseas, but we've got fewer missionaries going out now than we've ever had. And more than likely, it's because more people are not saying, I've been called of God. I will say this, the Lord takes volunteers. Do everything you can for God's glory till God says stop. Amen. Amen. Y'all were bragging on me just a minute ago. Don't let it die. I mean, I don't know who it is. Like, he was talking about somebody else. That's right. Well, just, yeah. Well, we talk about money. It's when that's when people get very uncomfortable. Because that's when you start to deal in people's personal lives, what they spend money on. And very readily people have priorities that may be out of line. We could talk about debt. We could talk about where we spend money, where we spend time, all those things. But here's the thing. If we've been called to stay, we've been called to help supply. If we've been called to go, yes, we're going to give ourselves or time or money, and we're also going to give to our own home church. But if we've been called to stay, we've been called to help supply. So here's what I want to look at. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1. I want you to see this. Now concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by in him. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever you shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. And if it be meet, if it be appropriate that I go also, they shall go with me. Father, I pray you'd bless us these few minutes this morning. Lord, I am no stint at Baloo, but I pray that you'd help us as we enter into this time today, that Christ would be glorified and magnified, not just in the word that's read, but Father, in the folks' hearts, in giving what you'd have us to give. And we'll thank and praise you, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, a couple things I want to see here. When I first read this text years ago, when I read about the collection for the saints, doing them on the first day of the week, verse number 2, then I automatically thought, well, that was what we did here half an hour ago, taking up the morning offering. But I want us to look at this text a little bit more in depth. This is not the Sunday morning tithes and offerings. That's not what this is. And here's why this is important. I want you to look here. You young folks who are taking English, it's important to know subjects, verbs, nouns, prepositions, all those things. When I read the Greek New Testament, when I read the Hebrew Old Testament, I look for verbs and nouns and participles, all those things. I look for those parts of speech. When you have your English Bible, we all do the same thing. Look here. Now concerning the collection, what's that next word? Now concerning the collection, we're in 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse number 1. Is everybody there? Let's try this again. Now concerning the collection for the saints, is that the tithe? The answer is no, that's not the tithe. We don't take up tithes for saints. As Brother Ballou famously said, we take tithes from saints. Where does the tithe go? It goes to the local church. Church takes care of me and my family. The church keeps the lights on. The church pays the gas bill. The church pays for the cleaning supplies. The church pays to take care of the yard. All those things that go on within the church, we tithe. Okay? We can go back and look at it. So you'll say, well, preacher, tithing was in the Old Testament. Well, tithing was number one. Let me just go ahead and say this. So is thou shalt not kill. That's also Old Testament. Okay. Number two, tithing was prior to, before the law. And it was done by the father of faith. Amen. So when somebody says, well, preacher, Christians are not obligated to give a tithe. If you want to argue that, that's more than fine. That's fine. Go ahead and argue that. Because grace always goes beyond what the law demanded. We go to Matthew 5 and see. Look at that. The physical act of adultery is bad. Well, Jesus said if a man looks on a woman, he commits adultery in his heart. Which one is the higher standard? The physical act or the look of adultery? Which one's the higher standard? Talk to him. Yeah. Yeah, the look. That's the higher standard. Under grace, under Christ, the standard's much higher. So if someone says, well, preacher, I'm not going to give that 10% because that's under the law, that's fine. Just give more than 10%. Let that be your tithe. Tithe 15%. Tithe 20%. Be like J.C. Penney and tithe 90%. Amen. But here's the thing. If we look here, number one, we see that this is not a collection that is a tithe. It is money taken up by the church, but not for the church. It's to be given to saints who are working to, or who have a need in other places. Now, look in verse number two. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you, watch this, lay by him in store, how? As God hath prospered him. How God has prospered David, a young man preparing to get married, is different than how God has prospered his future in-laws and his own parents. That's different. How God has prospered Caleb and Anna, being married just less, you know, around 3 months or so, is different than how he has prospered Caleb's parents or Miss Anna's parents. So I can't say how God has prospered you based on how he's prospered me, because those are two different equations. But God has prospered each one of us individually and as a family. And only you as individuals and families can come up with how God has prospered us. So the collection in 1 Corinthians chapter 16 and verse number 1 is not the tithe. This is what we would use as a principle to base giving beyond the tithe. Okay? Now, if we look, there's the tithe. There are special offerings. We may take up an offering for this past week. We gave an offering in the missions conference. There were some preachers and some folks came to me and said, we would like to give. Well, when that happens, you don't turn off the spigots. You open the spigots up and put the buckets out. Amen. That's right. And so we allowed people to give in the offering this past week, and it went to help the missions conference, and that money was given to the missionaries. Okay? Well, that offering, somebody might have given $10. Somebody might have put in a 20. I saw some 20s. I saw some 1s. Just a little bit, you know, you could see folks put in. But that was an offering that was taken up at the moment, and the person who gave as they felt led to take care of the need. Churches have helped out with light bills. Churches have helped out with food bills. Churches have helped out take care of broken vehicles, all those things. And some people may give $100. Some people may give 50 cents. And they simply give as they feel like God wants them to give. And that's between them and the Lord. But when we come to faith promise giving, the Bible says in verse number 2 that we lay by, let every one of you. I wonder how many people every one of you is. I think it means every one. Amen. And I love how Brother Blue used to do it. He said, and down south it means all y'all. Up north it means all you guys. And for some of us it means just every cotton picking one of you. All that from Brother Stennett Blue. I mean, I've heard those messages for 20 years almost. And so everybody gives, but we give as God has prospered him. Now notice Paul said that there'd be no gatherings when I come. Paul didn't want people to come in and give perhaps as a special reason because he was there, but he wanted that money to go ahead and be given as people would lay by, and then he would take and bring that liberality to the saints in need at Jerusalem. Now, so there's tithing, there's special giving, a special need giving, we could call that a special offering, and then there's faith promise. How has God prospered each one of us? I can't tell you how God's prospered you. That's between you and the Lord in prayer. That's all I can tell you. So if we go to 2 Corinthians now, we could, I've already told you to go to chapter 9. Go ahead and go to chapter 9. In chapter 8, Paul talks about the churches in Macedonia in verse number 2, how they gave in a great trial of affliction, and their deep poverty abounded under the riches of their liberality. They gave out of poverty to give to the work of the gospel. And verse 4 of chapter 8, Paul said that they prayed us with much entreaty that we would receive the gift. Well, yeah, we're poor, but we're going to give it to you. Please take it. Take the money. I don't want to take it from you because y'all are poor. No, no, please, please, please. Take our offering we're giving to you for the furtherance of the gospel. That's the scene you're seeing there in 2 Corinthians chapter number 8. And so Paul begins to discuss that, and we could talk more about that. But in chapter number 9, we talk about giving. Verse number 6 says this, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall reap also bountifully." The time that I get the most okra, and by the way, it's okra down south, the time I get the most okra is when I put out the most pods. Amen. That's right. So the more you sow, the more you have the potential to reap. "Every man according as he purposeth in his heart," there it is again, "so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." Now someone says, "Well, I'm not cheerful, so I don't have to give." God will take money from a tightwad. Okay, so don't worry about that. Amen. Amen. He definitely will. That's exactly right. He'll do that. Now, some people hear people on television, "Sow your seed in this ministry. Send your seed in and sow your seed of faith in this ministry." I'm going to tell you, I'm not coming over to somebody else's house. Find your nice piece of turned over dirt and sow seed in your garden, because that ain't my garden. I put seed in my own garden. And I'm not going to send my money to some fake charlatan who tries to hoodwink people and send money into TV. Don't send your money into TV preachers. Can I get a witness on that? There might be a handful of good preachers on there. If you ask me after church, I could probably tell you some folks. I wouldn't mind maybe if you send something, if you did that, good folks. But don't send your tithe to them. Your tithe stays here. I don't tithe the radio preachers. I don't tithe the TV preachers. I tithe to the Victory Independent Baptist Church every single Lord's Day, unless I forget it and leave it at the house. And then I bring it in the next Lord's Day or whenever I find it. Amen. There was one time I lost a whole bunch of it. I come in with a whole wad of money, and Miss Sarah and Miss Stephanie just, "Well, you found it. Yeah, you found it." You know. Amen. Amen. So we sow bountifully, but listen, sow in your own garden. Don't sow it somewhere else. Now, if you'll look here, the Bible says it's personal giving here. Every man. Verse number 7. It's personal giving. That means every one of you. That means that Sarah and Charity and Hannah and Savannah and Dylan need to have a part in this. Even if it's, even if Isaac gives 50 cents a week in Faith Promise Missions. I'm just throwing that number out just to be easy, brother. You do whatever y'all want. I'm just saying, if Dylan says, "I'm going to give $2 a week to Faith Promise Missions," that's something between Dylan and the Lord. I don't know about it, but Dylan and his Lord know about it. Amen. Amen. And Dylan, I will say this, God uses missionaries to bless other missionaries. Amen. And if you've surrendered to be a missionary, now's a good time to go ahead and start with deciding what you're going to do. That may mean you need to talk to mom and dad about doing a little extra work around the house, doing some extra cleaning, mowing the yard, whatever. You tithe off of it. So if you get $10 for mowing the yard and your faith promise is a dollar, you give a dollar for tithe and a dollar for faith promise, you get to keep 8 of those dollars. Amen. Amen. And don't buy anything that's $15, because that means you're going to debt. Amen. Just thought I'd throw that out. All right. Now, so it's personal giving, every man. It's planned giving. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart. We've got a plan to do it. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you fail to plan, you plan to fail. If you don't sit down and decide, "I believe the Lord wants me to give $20 a week, let's say, to missions above my tithe." Again, this is separate. The tithe goes into the church. That's separate. We take care of church needs out of that. But when it comes to Faith Promise Missions, we've got to decide between us and the Lord what the Lord wants us to give. Now, I know some of y'all were unable to be here at Missions Conference. I know some of y'all, your wives are not here. And I know we have folks who are not here. So understand that. So I'm not trying to give you an out, because I don't want to give you an out. But I know you may need to talk to your... I know you say, "Well, preacher, I'm the head of my house." I know that, but you might be the thermostat, but your wife's a thermometer, and you don't want it to be cold. So you may need to talk to mama about what you need to do. And I know mama trusts you and all that. I get that. But you may need to talk to mama about that. But we need to remember it's plan giving. Every single Lord's Day, or whether it's once a month, but it's planned. It's persistent giving. Verse 7, so let him give. As he's purposed in his heart, as he's planned in his heart, so let him give. It's persistent. As you've planned, as God has given you direction, you give that week by week or month by month, let's say. It's positive giving. Notice he says, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. God loves that. It's personal, it's planned, it's persistent, and it's positive. We give because, listen to me, God in His mercy allowed you to be born here in the United States. You have heard the gospel, you've been saved by the grace of God, and yet there are untold millions upon millions, I'll even say in the billions, who have never even heard the name of Jesus. I have read years ago, the first thing that jumped out to me was in southwestern China, there are a group of Amdo Tibetans. You can walk for days and days and days and talk to people and meet people who have never one time heard the name of Jesus. Not one time. Not one time. Some one of the missionaries I was talking to, or maybe it was a presentation, you don't even hear the Lord's name taken in vain as a swear word in many of those places because He doesn't exist. And that's positive in one sense, but it's negative in the sense that they do not know who He is. And so we ought to be willing to give because God loves a cheerful giver. God loves a cheerful giver. We get to give. A preacher, all you do is you talk about money. Let me ask you a question. Everything that we spend money on. You've got your hobbies, I've got mine. Okay? So you got, yeah, I got some hobbies. I do have hobbies. I like knives. I like guns. I don't have a love, but I really like knives. And I have more knives than, well, I don't know if I have more knives. Anyway, one's cheaper than the other. Okay? Now, if I spend a lot of money on guns, when I die, they're not going to go with me. When I buy outdoor bushcrafty type equipment, I have reached the point in my life I am not buying any more Chinese-made junk. I'm going to buy once and cry once. But I'm going to take care of it so that my boys or grandyoungins can get my stuff like that when I'm gone. So I'm not buying a cheap $10 hardware store made in China hatchet. I'm going to buy a good one made in Sweden. And I cried over it. But it's mine, and it's going to last me a lifetime. And if I got to rehang it, I'll rehang it. Amen. But that's no problem. So here's the thing. But all of that being said, if push came to shove, I've got better places to prioritize putting my money. Amen. Amen. Got better places. So it's positive giving. And Brother Stennett Blue added this, it's proving giving. We give by faith. And as we give by faith, we give God an opportunity. As we have purposed in our heart, how did that happen? We did that because of God's grace in our lives. We did that because of God's grace. We see how God's going to take care. And so you remember Brother Blue talking about how that when he first started doing Faith Promise missions in Tennessee years ago, how that there was a couple, there was a man, his wife had passed, a woman, her husband had passed. Well, they got together and married, and one of them had a dog that the dog came into the marriage, and they wanted to give to Faith Promise, and they said that they felt like they needed to give $2, and this will tell you how long ago it was. They wanted to give $2.50 a week to Faith Promise Missions, but they didn't know how they could do it because they were spending $10 a month on dog food. Well, dog got loose one day, got hit, and the dog died. So you know what God did? God buried Fido so that the finances for the missionaries could be taken care of. Another gentleman went in and bragged about how that God had come in and all he had done in the missions conference, and he was going to take God on by faith. In the factory he worked at, he was in the break room and said, God's told me to give to, I don't know how God's going to do it, but I can't wait to prove God. And he said, an unbeliever stood up and said, how much is it that God told you to give? And I think he said, might have been $20 a week per se. And that lost man opened up his billfold, pulled down a $20 bill and handed it to him and said, well, there's your first payment. And that lost man took care of his faith promise every single week. God used an unsaved man to give the money to the Christian to put it in the offering plate so that God's missionaries can take the gospel to the regions beyond. Now, I'm not trying to tell you those stories to stir your heart up in emotions. I'm just telling you that those are real accounts of people who were touched by the message that Brother Blue had preached to give in faith promise giving, and that God would not only help those people, he could help those out. There's a man who goes to our home church in Tennessee. He went to the bank, bought a vehicle, talked him down to where he paid so much for this Honda Pilot. Felt like he really needed to give something in faith promise and just trusted God by faith for that amount. Not long, we got a hailstorm down there. It was the year we're getting ready to come up here. It was like spring of 2014. Hailstorm come down there. It killed everything that I had planted down yonder. I was not a happy man. And it looked like a hailstorm had just clouded up and rained and hailed right on top of his Honda Pilot. When he went in and got the insurance check, it paid that Honda Pilot off. He had no bill, no car payment. And so instead of having a car payment, he simply, instead of writing it to the bank, wrote it to Ridgeview Baptist Church for his faith promise missions. Story after story after story. Story after story after story. And so God takes care of it. So here's what we need to do this morning. You've got this little piece here, this little piece of paper. And so what we want to do, and again, I know that many of you, your wives aren't here. Maybe your husband's not here, whatever, and you want to, you know, do something, and you need to talk to them about it. By all means, do that. By all means, do that. But here's what I want us to do. I want you to look at this. It says, my faith promise investment in world missions. I want you to read this with me. In dependence upon God, I will endeavor to give above my regular tithes and offering to the worldwide missionary outreach of our church the amount circled at the right for the coming year. Choose whether you will give weekly or monthly and circle the listed amount. If the amount you feel led to give is not listed, write it on the blank at the bottom. Your faith promises that you will give this amount regularly through your church during the coming years the Lord enables you. You will not be asked for it. It is your voluntary investment in the Lord's work. If you're not able to pay it, just tell God. You're not going to put your name on this, so I have no idea who gives what. None of my business. You ask anybody back here, I don't ask who gives what. None of my business. None of my business. I have no idea. Now listen to me. If you make $1,000 a week, what's your tithe? $100. If you make $2,000 a week, what's your tithe? $200. You make $3,500 a week, your tithe is $350. That doesn't change. That does not change. So I could come if I were to lose weight. That won't happen. But if I were to lose weight, I could come and stick a bony finger, or here you get like a little meaty finger in your face and say, your tithe is 10%. Kick that dog, shake that tree, preacher. Hey, man, that's right. Your tithe is 10%. Now, I'm not going to come to you and ask for it. I don't even know what your tithe is, but I know your tithe needs to be 10%. That's good preaching, preacher. Hey, man, that's right. Hey, man, that's right. However, I cannot come to you and say, your faith promise is X amount. All I can do is say, you've trusted the Lord, you follow the Lord, be faithful to do what God has told you to do. That's all I can say. I'm not going to come to you. I won't know. Nowhere to know. I have no way. And again, our verse, every man according as he purposeth in his heart. So let him give, not grudgingly over necessity, for God loveth the cheerful giver. So here's what we need to do. Let's say you feel like you need to give $30 a week. $30 isn't listed. You just write 30 in the other. You circle weekly. You say, well, it'd be a whole lot easier for me to give $100 a month. And you just circle 100, circle month, and that way we'll know what our missions, quote, budget happens to be based on what we have, what we've received. Now, before we do this, I will say this. I want you to listen to me. I'm not trying to sing a sad story. I'm just going to give you some facts. We have been supporting the missionaries this past 2 years off of 2019's faith promise. We did not take a faith promise up in 2020 because our missions conference was canceled. Brother Ruckman was going to preach it, but wasn't able to do it. Many of us, at some point in time, experience a cost of living increase. Maybe you get a raise. Maybe there's a bonus of some sort, whatever that is. From us, our missionaries have not gotten that. We support our mission, most all of our missionaries, at $75 a month. That's not a whole lot. I feel a whole lot better doing it than what we did at 50. But we tried to bump them up and give them a raise. Am I planning on doing that this year? Not necessarily, because I want to take on some more missionaries and just see whatever happens. Okay. But it just kind of, let's pray, talk about that, and see what the Lord would do. Okay. So here's what I want to do. Savannah, I'm going to let you come play for a little bit. Let's take some time to pray. Let's just take some time to pray about that. And so if you want to, just go ahead and fold that up a little bit. These are not perforated, but you see where the perforation is. You can fold them up. Now, parents, also watch the kids. We don't want a kid to say they're going to give, you know, $400 a week. You'll hear shouts that will turn to cries. Okay? We don't want that to happen. All right? Now, young folks, you are welcome to go ahead and fill these out as well. And if you want to tell your parents what you've done, you're welcome to do that, but it's between you and the Lord. And your parents are simply just going to remind you that you need to give something, all right? And so with that, let's take a time this morning and let's pray and ask the Lord to give us help and direction in it, all right? Let's do that. Amen. Brother Michael Collins, would you stand and pray for us, brother? I know you're busy doing dad stuff, but if you'll just stand and pray for us, brother, and ask the Lord to bless our time here as we do our faith promise. Amen. She's going to play. You want to fill that out or pray on that? Like I said, I know some of you may need to pray about that with your husband or wife, and you do that, that'll be fine. You're welcome to bring it back this evening if you need to. And while she's praying, don't do the increase. It's just, if you will, just throw out. So if you gave $10 a week and you want to increase it to 15, don't put the 5, just put the 15, if that makes sense. Just forget what you did last time. Just start with a new number this time. And again, this is between you and the Lord. I'm not going to come by and ask you for it. I won't knock on your door or anything like that. So. Brother David, Bill, and Brother Michael's got the plates. If you'll go back here and get the plates and then just collect these from folks who are ready. Amen. Just leave them right there for now. We'll count them up. Yeah, we'll count them. This, yeah, we'll dismiss. We'll count them a little later. All right. Dylan. Go. Yeah. Amen. 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 Dylan, get your grandmother back there. Yeah, because I know we've taken another one on here, so it's like 35-ish. And it's sad, I should remember, but that's really bad. Okay. Yeah, when you include Victorious Life, we still help with them. And, of course, we help Caleb as well and Miss Dixie. That would increase that. Yeah, we'll talk about that because I know his wife's still alive, so we're going to talk. Yeah, we need to talk about that. So, we want to help out as many missionaries as we can. And the missionaries we had here this past week, some of y'all were not here. We tried to do a little bit of question and answer, if you saw that online. And somebody asked, what's one of the most frustrating things that you've had on deputation? Brother Bartell's sitting right here, and he's like, I'll tell you what it is. Pastors won't call you back. And it was like, I don't know if everybody kind of hyper, you know, like that, you know, there was a temporary vacuum in the room. People couldn't believe he said it, but I thought, brother, I appreciate that. I do. I appreciate that. Appreciate the man's honesty. So, anyway, a lot of missionaries we'd love to help. We've had at least half a dozen come through the last year. I'd love to help, but I want to make sure that we can help. In fact, I'd have had more missionaries for our missions conference here, but I only had in 3 just because I wanted to make sure we could help those if at all possible. You know. So anyway, tell you what we probably ought to do is, I know we have it somewhere because I know I'd put it together before, but a breakdown of, you know, not just the missionaries, you know, by name, maybe missionaries by name or country or name and whatever, something like that. And that way, when folks ask, you know, where they're at, what they're doing, we can get that. The only thing I don't want to do is, you know, if we have a missionary serving in Northeast Asia, we'll leave his name off. We'll put his first name on the list, and that's about it, just because he's going to a sensitive area. We got another man who's in Southeast Asia who's been in a sensitive area, so we want to make sure that we keep security on that. We don't think we're going to get hacked or anything, but you never know with stuff like that. So we'll get a missionary list out as well. And something else, we've done this before and encourage you to do it. I had the girls go back through the napkin holder now that the girls are back home with our missions cards. And so, the good Lord willing, once we get back to eating supper as a family, we're going to be picking back up the praying for the mealtime missionaries, praying over the missionaries one meal at a time, and then asking the Lord to bless them. So, just, you know, remember to pray for them as well. Anything else before we go? Anything else? Young ladies class in about 4 hours. Is that right? And then prayer room at 5:30, service tonight at 6. All right? All right. Yes, ma'am.